Our passage this morning comes from Matthew chapter 5. The key verses will be chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, but I will read verses 21 through 26. Let us hear God's word. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder,' and 'Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you this morning asking for your blessings upon the preaching and the hearing of your word. We pray, heavenly Father, that in all things you would exalt Christ to us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Last week we saw that Jesus was dealing with some of the traditions of the Pharisees. What the Pharisees were doing, they were taking their own traditions and applying those as moral obligations. Instead of following the Ten Commandments and preaching and teaching the Ten Commandments, the traditions and the customs of the Pharisees had become first priority. And last week we saw that Jesus begins to deal with the commandments that the Pharisees had diluted. And the first commandment that he deals with is commandment number 6, "Thou shalt not murder." And what we found out last week was that it is not only the actual committing of murder that the commandment forbids, but what the commandment forbids is hateful thoughts in our hearts towards others. We have all seen babies learn to walk, babies learn to sit up, they learn to roll over, and then they learn to sit up, and then they learn to stand. They do all this before they learn to walk. Well, before the sin of murder is strengthened enough to walk on its own, it first learns to turn over hateful thoughts in our heart. And then it stands up in the heart, and then with full-grown hatred and murder, the commandment, the sixth commandment, is broken. Any hateful thoughts are the first steps to murder. Therefore, hatred and bitterness, contemptuous thoughts, thoughts that wish harm on others, they are all violations of the sixth commandment. If you've ever hated someone in your heart, and my friend, you have, then according to Jesus' interpretation of the sixth commandment, you are a murderer. You've broken the sixth commandment. You have sinned against God. And murder is so serious because it is attack upon the image of God, and this God himself. To be warned of the seriousness of murder, the scriptures remind us in Genesis chapter 9, that whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It is because man is made in the image of God that when someone murders someone, they are then attacking God himself because they are attacking his image. And to remind us of the seriousness of murder, the scriptures remind us of the fate of murderers, and that will be that they will be cast into hell. Anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Revelation 21, all murderers, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. What you wish to be done to one will be done to you. If you show mercy, mercy will be shown to you. But if you judge harshly, then a harsh judgment will be given to you. With the same measure that you use to one, the same measure will be used to you. Anyone who expresses sinful anger or hateful thoughts to another is a murderer. And the warning from God is that the person will lose his life in hell. Because murderers promote death, they will receive what they promote. Eternal death will be their fate. So what must we do? Well, we are murderers from childhood. The law condemns us. Like a spider dangling over a fire, we are dangling over God's wrath. How do we escape the fate that God has threatened to sinners, and especially in this case, murderers? Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penalty." The last penny. The Lord reminds us of the urgency of reconciliation, not just with those who were made in the image of God, but with God himself. Jesus says, "Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court, or he may hand you over to the jailer who will throw you into prison." You must understand that by nature we are dead in sin. By nature we hate the things of God. By nature we love sin. By nature, we are the enemies of God. God is our adversary. God is taking us to court. And what Jesus is saying is that murder, even hateful thoughts in our heart, is so serious that you're attacking God. Because that person is made in the image of God. Thus, when you attack God, it is only natural then for God to become your adversary. Your enemy ultimately is God. You have chosen to fight against someone that you cannot possibly defeat. Think of what happens even when righteous men encounter God. In his presence, the mountains quake. The earth trembles, and even people like Moses and Isaiah, they literally began to melt in the presence of Jesus Christ. But you are so presumptuous to think that you can prevail. My friend, he will literally tear you to pieces. If you come to court in your sin, God will literally tear you to pieces. So what must you do? Should you run from the danger? Oh no, quite the opposite. You do not run from the danger, you run to the danger. You do not run from God, instead you run to God. You settle matters with him. Well, how is this done? Listen to the scriptures, Romans chapter 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it would be righteous for a judge to cast into prison a murderer. It would be righteous on God's part to cast us into the prison of hell because of our hateful thoughts that we've had. Yet the gospel makes it clear that God is righteous and just to save us even from the sin of murder through Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Once again, Paul tells us in the letter to the Romans in chapter 3, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. God did this to demonstrate his justice, so to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. God, through the mediation of Jesus Christ, justly and honorably shows mercy to sinners. Even though we are his enemies, yet he loved us and has sent his Son to die for us. The blood of Christ is so precious to the Father that it is fully sufficient to pay the debt that we have accrued. He has paid the full price that we owe to God the Father. His blood is legal tender with the Father. Listen to the prophet, the Apostle John. "If anyone sins, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Our sins are so great that if God threw us into hell, we would continually be paying the debt for eternity. As Jesus says, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. But that means that we will never get out because we can never pay off the debt that we have. How can we atone for even the slightest sin? How can we who are infinitely unrighteous pay an infinitely righteous debt to God? But through the blood of Christ, the debt is paid in full once and for all. The letter to the Hebrews says, "By one sacrifice, he has made perfect those forever who are being made holy." The Apostle Peter says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Once again, from the letter to the Romans, "When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son." Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And that sacrifice, and only that sacrifice, is acceptable to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There is such dignity and excellency in Christ, such holiness and purity, that God the Father accepts the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on our behalf. He will show sinners mercy only on account of Christ. So you see, you do not run from God. Even though he is the one who is taking us to court, we do not run from him. Instead, we run to him. Only as we run to Christ for cleansing from sin will we receive cleansing from sin. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You cannot use American money in Europe. Neither can you obligate God to forgive you because you think you're a good person or because you've done this good deed or that good deed. No, the only thing that God the Father recognizes is the purity and the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And since you have no righteousness of your own, you must run to Christ. I would conclude this sermon by reminding you of the freeness and the wonderful grace of God towards sinners like you and I. You and I, we have wicked hearts. You and I, we have murdered in our hearts those who have been made in the image of God. And it would have been proper, most proper and just for God to forever cast us into the prison of hell. But my friend, God has shown you mercy. Though we deserve hell, yet God has prepared a wonderful place for you and I. Though at one time we had not loved God, yet He has loved us from the beginning of time. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You have condemned God. You have sought to murder Him. Yet He did not bring you to death, but instead He has restored life to you. You chose to be with Satan in his service, but God has elevated you above a servant and made you a member of His own family and a joint heir with His Son. You were ungrateful for past mercies and blessings. Yet God not only continued those mercies and blessings, but instead but bestowed upon you even greater mercies and blessings. You've refused to come and listen to God's word as He spoke to you. Yet He has never refused to listen to you when you spoke to Him. You abused the abundance of God's mercy to encourage yourself in sin. Yet God has multiplied His mercies to you to conform you to the holiness of Christ. You have rejected Christ. You have murdered Him by hanging Him on a cross. Yet on that cross, He has become your Savior. You have neglected your own debt to God. Yet God has not forgotten your debt to Him. But instead, He paid it for you. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice, as the one who would turn aside God's wrath and take upon Himself God's wrath. You have sought your ruin and death, yet God has given you His Son that you may have eternal life and not perish. You have sought to destroy yourself, but God has given you new life in Christ. Oh, what cause there is to praise and glorify God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not run from God. Instead, run to Him. Yes, He is dangerous, but He is also good and merciful. Settle matters quickly with Him. Bring to Him all of your sin, all of your failures. Come to Him, humbly come to Him, confessing your sins. Ask for forgiveness, and He will receive you. He will bless you. He will forgive you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Your continued mercies to us. We are great sinners. We have sinned against You in word, thought, and deed. We have murdered in our hearts those who were in Your image. Thus we have attacked You. Yet You have shown us mercy and grace in Jesus Christ. We thank You for Christ. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that through the power of Your Spirit, We would love you with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now hear the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.